Sports, Rev City, let's go. The Wilson Rush Podcast with your host, Wilson Rush. Also with T. Little, Vaughn Wilson, and C. Rush. What up, Detroit? 7 miles. Rev City, your world. DJ Clips. We the best, the Chemist Music Group. The Rush Wilson Podcast starts now.
Yes, sir. Wilson Rush Podcast at it again, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. We got a good one for you today. We got no guests on, the usual suspects. C. Rush, how's it going, man?
Just enjoying this mildly hot fall day here in Michigan.
I hear that, man. I definitely hear that. T. Will, how you feel, man?
Pretty good. Fine. Just over here kicking it, chilling. Just in season, man, and just ready to get after it.
I know that's right. We definitely got a good one for you today. We'll review the pick'ems from last week, and we got three more doozies that we'll pick at the end of the show again. And we got a lot to cover today. We're gonna preview Bama playing Texas A&M. That's gonna be a heck of a showdown. I personally can't wait. And we'll recap the Notre Dame Michigan game. Go Blue, of course. And we'll talk about the Lions. And we gotta apologize that we didn't get an opportunity to do a Lions preview for you guys. So we'll give our take on what we think will happen this season and talk about the previous game against the Vikings. We'll also talk about that. But today we want to start with college football teams. They don't like to remove head coaches during the year. So we're going to talk about Lane Kiffin and Mack Brown. Do you guys think that they should see the end of the year? But, T. Will, you ready to get going?
Fine, it's been a long day, but I'm ready to get this party jumping.
Let's do it, man. Let's get the party jumping. Let's get the party jumping. All right, T. Will, since you're ready to get this party jumping, let's start with you. And let's talk about my boy Lane Kiffin first. They lost to Washington State on Saturday, but I just want to warn y'all, what y'all not going to do on this show is y'all going to say that, not going to say that Washington State is a bad ball club, because they're a pretty good team, man.
Okay.
So, Mike Leach had them boys out there playing. But T. Will, do you think, I mean, they're chanting Fire Lane, Fire Kiffin. Do you think they should just let them go at the end of the year, or do you think they should just remove them and get an interim guy in right now?
Well, fine. I'm never in belief of removing a coach unless you have someone better at the time, unless the situation just calls for it. I don't think this situation calls for it. I think if they are going to remove him, I would remove him at the end of the year. You know, like you said, Washington State isn't really a bad football program. You know, Mike Leach is a really great offensive coach, but his athletes aren't as superior as USC athletes should be. So, you know, with Washington State not being a bad football program, fine, and USC should be a top-notch program in the eyes of the USC fans and the USC alumni and the USC boosters, you know, losing to Washington State was unacceptable. When you think about the bottom of the Pac-12 over there, I mean, you think of programs like, you know, maybe a Washington State or maybe a Oregon State or something like that, and the USC fans, guys, they're not going to go for USC and Lane Kiffin, you know, losing to these guys. You know, I understand they were on probation back in the day, and I mean a few years ago or a year ago, and now they're finally moving forward. But, you know, losing to programs like Washington State, you know, hasn't been acceptable in the past, and it's not going to be acceptable now.
Yeah, T. Will, I just want to ask you this now, okay? Now, so you say, okay, they're 1-1 on the season. It got kind of scary in Hawaii, and they just went ahead and just lost to Washington State. But let me ask you this. I mean, Boston College, they're not a good team as well. They're favored by 17 points when they play them this weekend, T-Will. But if Boston College comes in from the East Coast and beats Lane Kiffin this week at the Coliseum, do you still feel the same way, or do you say, man, he got to go?
Well, that's a tough one. I mean, right there, you don't want to lose your team. You don't want to lose your program. So as the athletic director, you have to make that that decision. Do I want to let them go now? And I think if Boston College comes in and actually beats USC, I think you have to let Lane go, you know, just for the sake of the program, just to show guys that your program is still held at a high standard, and losing to these, you know, average to above average teams aren't, you know, it's just not going to happen. It won't be accepted. You know, Boston College is consistent. You know, they're consistently getting average athletes, maximizing them, and, you know, maybe making a strong run, you know, once every 4 to 5 years. So, you know, you're going to get a hard fought game from these individuals. But again, Boston College athletes aren't superior as the USC athletes. So on paper, USC should win this game. And if Boston College comes out on top, guys, I think you have to pull a trigger on letting Lane Kiffin go.
Yeah, T, I agree with you. I don't think he should be let go after this game, because if you're the athletic director, you brought him back. So now you fire him after two games, you're telling everybody that you don't know what you're doing. So that's what it looks like to me. But see, Rush, let's let you in here. I mean, what do you think about the situation? The Cougars came in, they controlled the game, they controlled the tempo, and they got it done. And that's a good ball club.
The Cougars didn't score an offensive touchdown, so I don't want to hear this is a good ball club or anything. This is not this is not Michael Crabtree not running out of that locker room, you know. They didn't score an offensive touchdown, enough said. It's a reason that USC was 23-point favorites. Lane Kiffin, in my opinion, should have been let go during the summer. And here's why. If we felt things were going downhill, us as fans and people who know the game felt it was going downhill during the summer, and then it comes to pass, then that falls on the AD, like you said. So his job should have been not his going into this season. But now you letting him go right now looks bad on recruiting, looks bad on the AD, looks bad for everybody. It's a sticky situation. You know, USC is used to dominating teams, used to beating teams, at least beating the teams you're supposed to beat. Even if you're having a down year, you got to beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. Now, this is not a Cal team. This is not even a Utah team. This is a Washington State team who did not score an offensive touchdown. A Washington State team who the head coach said this quarterback is a loser that's in the NFL. So, you know, he don't even have confidence in his guys. So what does that make them? So this is a terrible loss on this program.
Now, see, Rush, I just want to ask you a simple question, man. Can Lane Kiffin coach?
He ain't been nowhere longer than 3 years. I don't know. I don't think he can. Like, personally, I love him for the character that he is. But as a coach, he's been railroaded out of Oakland, out of Tennessee. The only thing I remember out of his tenure at Tennessee is two things: the black jerseys and him sleeping in front of the fax machine. That's all I remember. You know, Al Davis fired him at a one-man press conference. He was the OC at USC when USC had guys coming in every week because they had a great head coach in Pete Carroll. A great head coach can make up for a lot of stuff. You're getting those athletes. So I don't think he's a good coach.
Yeah, I'll throw this to T in a second. But, see, I know we're going to get to Mack Brown. But, see, I think Texas, Mack Brown, their players, they're just not – they just turned their ears off to him. That's what I see when I watch them play.
Yep.
But it seemed like they're listening to Lane Kiffin. So, T, I want to throw this to you. Do you think he can coach?
Great question. I mean, I do think he can coach. I don't think he's a head coach. I've always said that about Lane Kiffin. I think he's an offensive coordinator. I think he can be in charge of the offense. But as far as running a team, running a program, being in charge of recruiting, you know, make sure there's no violations and things like that, I don't think that's his strength. You know, his strength is being an offensive coordinator, you know, putting up points, worried about the offensive side of the ball. And sometimes, you know, some of the best coaches are just assistant coaches. You know, some of those guys need to be put in that role and they can grow there, you know, and some guys just aren't head coaches. Marty Morningweg, one of the worst head coaches I've ever seen in my life, but one of the best offensive coordinators in the NFL. So, I mean, sometimes it's just meant for you to be an offensive coordinator, and I think that's the case for Lane Kiffin.
See, Rush, let's be honest here. Do you think because his father is a good defense coach, so I can't say was. Obviously, he's a little bit older. I think he's like 73, 74 years old. But do you just think that Lane Kiffin is just like, well, My father was a coach, so he's just kind of riding that resume. But really and truly, he has no idea what he's doing.
In a sense, I mean, he must interview well because he's getting some high-profile gigs. But, you know, I don't know why his father left, because his father forced 6 turnovers this past Monday night, and USC could have used him. So it's something behind that. You know, I don't know if he said, "Dad, I don't need you anymore," or his dad was like, "I can't deal with this clown because he can't coach." So it's got to be something. If your dad leave you on any kind of level, it says something about you.
Yeah, I got to agree with that one. But let's jump to the man of the hour, Mack Brown. And T. Will, let's go to you. Okay, so Mack Brown let the defensive coordinator go because he gave up the most yards in history. So obviously, T. Will, we all know this. When you fire a coordinator after a loss, you're basically saying, that's why we lost the game. See, he's gone now. But T. Will, let's start from the top. Do you think that he should be removed before the season ends?
I felt he should have been removed about a season or two ago. I think somebody actually finally put pressure on him after this loss and said something has to happen. There has to be change. You don't have a choice in this. There has to be some change. And that's why I think the defensive coordinator was let go. You know, somebody had to go, and it just so happened to be him, guys. So I think I really do think Mack Brown should step aside. I think he's had a wonderful career. I think he did some great things at Texas. Coached some great players. Left his stamp in a lot of men's lives down there. You know, he coached in one of the football meccas in the country. You know, down in the state of Texas. So I think he should have been removed a year or two ago. And just right now, guys, I kind of see him just going through the motions. I don't see University of Texas football being the same anymore. It doesn't have that luster it used to have. So, yeah, I think he should step aside as soon as possible, man, and get some fresh blood in there and rejuvenate that portion of college football.
Yeah, if they get somebody else in there and bring – because that's all they're missing, some energy. Like I said, when I see them, it just seems like they're not listening to him. But here's my take on this situation. Obviously, he doesn't want to leave. Like you said, T. Will, he should have been gone a season or two ago. But I look at the Florida State situation when they ran Bobby Bowden out of there. The last season or two, he was just walking around on the sideline like a guy, like a spectator. He wasn't even doing anything. They wasn't even looking for him for instruction. They just ran him out of there. I'm like, man, you do Bobby Bowden like this, but you let Mack Brown stay at one of the most prestigious universities in America. I just don't get it. See, Rush, give us your spiel, please.
You know, Mack Brown should have been gone. Like, we all know that. And he saved himself by throwing his DC under the bus. You know, it's not his fault. The talent is there. That's one thing. This is Texas. He can close his eyes. He don't even have to recruit. You know, the kids are going to come there. So it's that same message is falling on deaf ears nowadays. You know, like we all know, we need some. If they're not listening, you got to get some new blood. If they'll run Bobby Bowden out, if they'll run prestigious coaches like that out, what's so different about Mack Brown? that title they had was in 2005. You know, and that's way too long for a school like Texas. So I'm not sure. You know, if they're like, USC and Texas are just late to everything. Like, this could have been solved this past offseason, but you know what? It's their fault. So now they got to suffer with it. Now they got to suffer with mediocrity in this conference. That's what they're going to get. You know, they may come out and impress some people this weekend against Ole Miss, but you know what? His days are numbered.
Now, T. Will, I want to throw this to you because you said something. I was listening to a past podcast, and you say Nick Saban, he just runs a factory in and out of Alabama. He's got players, sent them to the pros, All-Americans, you name it. Now, do you think that – because Texas got the money, T. Will, and, you know, there was a rumor that he might, you know, think about replacing Mack Brown. We don't know. That's just a rumor. But, T. Will, do you think – that he would stay at Alabama, or he would say, you know what, I'll take $9, $10 million to go to Texas?
I definitely think Nick Saban, he comes off to me as a guy who looks for a challenge. You know, being at Michigan State and leaving and moving forward, you know, going to LSU and winning a national championship, then, you know, going to the NFL and coming back, going to Alabama. I think he looks for the next challenge, you know, so for him to take the job at University of Texas, to me, seems like, realistically, fine, maybe the only next challenge for him in college football, because I don't see another venue or another program that he would go to take over that will be this kind of challenge that Texas would, you know, to take a season or two and to put Texas back on the map. And man, I really do think that this would be something that he could do. And just to get back on the Mac Brown thing for a hot second, fine. The reason I think Bobby Bowden stayed around so long and walked those sidelines is because he had great coordinators under him. The Jimbo Fishers of the world. You know, he had great guys working under him. You know, Paterno, when he was at Penn State walking around, he had great coordinators working for him. So that allowed him to walk those sidelines, and he had those things in place. Mac Brown had coordinators that was constantly leaving. You can talk about Muschamp, who was the next coach in waiting. He ended up leaving, going to Florida, becoming a head coach. His offensive coordinator, I believe he left to go to Arkansas State to be the head coach. So he had a revolving door of coordinators. He never had anything solid there, and I don't think the kids kind of bought into all of those coordinators. And you guys know, when the system changes on a yearly basis, it's tough for any athlete to really dig down into what you're giving them.
Yeah, see, Rush, I want to throw that same question to you because, I mean, I'll be honest, I don't see how this isn't Mac Brown's last year. And the reason why I say that is because, let's not get it twisted. BYU is not that good. They're not that good. So it's like, man, how can you beat TCU? You know, how can you beat Oklahoma? So obviously this is probably his last year, C-Rush. But, I mean, do you think Nick Saban, because obviously that's going to be the first phone call. Les Miles will probably be the second. Then they'll probably go to the NFL, just my opinion. So what do you think, C-Rush?
Money talks, and like T. Will said, he wants a challenge at every level. If he's won on every level, minus, you know, Super Bowl championship, what's stopping him? You know, but if they're going to offer him $9 million, he may want that. Not for the financial reasons, even though that's a good reason, but for that challenge of, okay, everybody's saying they can't win. Watch me go there and win and prove that I can win wherever I go. Because LSU, they're a name now because he put them there. Alabama, they're a name now because he put them there. Yeah, Bear Bryant was there back before black kids could play there, but you know, now they're at a place to where everybody want to go play for Alabama. You know, so I believe that he would consider it based on the fact that, you know what, it's Texas. I'm gonna go here and win. You know, every coach has an ego. You know, and I think his ego is big enough to say that, you know what, I can go there, I can change this, and I can win next year with his players.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. But, yeah, we're going to move on here. But before we do, I just want to say this. You can't be the second highest paid coach in America in college football and not win your conference if you're not in the SEC. To me, that's crazy. So there's got to be a change there. Like you said, it's tough to do it because these guys are student athletes. They're not pros, so you don't really want to remove a coach during the year. They're not pros. They are student athletes, and they came there to get it done for that coach. So let's talk about our Lions here for a second and see, Rush. Let's start with you. And, you know, first of all, give us your outlook on the season before we talk about the game last night.
9-7. 9-7 is what I think. You know, we haven't changed, in my opinion, the key thing. We've gotten better on both sides of the ball, but discipline. You know, that's the one thing. The talent is there, but you know what? It's kind of like when Rick Carlisle coached the Pistons. Same team, same talent, but when they had a new voice, a disciplinarian like Larry Brown, came in, changed the culture, you know. So Coach Schwartz has to do something to get this discipline in these guys, because the penalties, the blocks, the talent is there with the team. Don't get me wrong, I love the talent, but elite teams find a way to win. Elite teams don't have these mistakes. So we're a good team as far as talent. You know, we got Reggie Bush coming out the backfield. Great weapon to have. Opens it up for just downfield passing. The defensive front four is, in my opinion, the top three in the league, in my opinion. Our back seven is actually good now because our defensive front can actually get pressure. Other than that first run of Adrian Peterson, we only gave up 15 more yards. He didn't even break 100 on Sunday. That with that first play, I thought, ooh, man, he about to hit 2,000 today. But we only gave up 15, 16 more yards. He didn't break 100. So the talent is there. The team is there. Now let's see if we can grow up. Let's see if we can finally grow up and just be an elite ball club, because elite talent is here. But as we all know, if we don't know how to temper that, it won't get done on any level.
Yeah, before I jump to T-Will, I just say my outlook is this, and it's very simple. I think that we had to fix the discipline issues, the mental focus, and we had to fix the run game. So, I mean, that's what I think that we had to fix, because a lot of people came down on Matthew Stafford, but when you're dropping eight and you're dropping seven, I mean, that's tough to complete passes. It's tough when you don't have a threat in the backfield. But, T-Will, what's your outlook on our Detroit Lions?
Well, guys, first off, we have to accept our Lions for who they are. We're not going to fix the discipline issues, because that's the team we are. We're not disciplined, okay? Sue's going to do his thing. Delmas is going to do his thing. We're going to get penalties after the whistle. That's who we are. So we kind of have to accept him for that. That's a part of our identity with this Lions team under Schwartz. It's not going to get any better, guys. It is what it is. So my outlook for him is, first off, on the offensive perspective, Reggie Bush brings a dimension to the Detroit Lions that I have, I almost want to say I've never seen before. And I know we went through Barry Sanders, but it's something that's different. You know, you knew Barry can break it and hit a home run every time he touched the ball. But the attention that Reggie Bush has with the weapons that he has on the outside with Calvin Johnson, I think it brings another dimension. And right now, what I see, guys, is something I just haven't seen before. I think Reggie Bush may have been one of the most phenomenal athletes I've ever seen in college football. And now to have him on our roster, and you have to respect him and the best receiver in the game. I mean, with one of the best young quarterbacks in the game, I think our offense can put up any number of points on any different night. We can move the ball with the best of them. Defensively, I think we're really sound up front. I still think we do have some holes in the secondary that we need to address. As long as we continue to be physical and win on early downs, guys, I think we'll be all right. Special teams wise, I don't see Logan back there anymore, so I'm fine. I'm fine with that. So, and the kicking game looks solid. So I think the Lions have a tough schedule this year. And I think our discipline will lose us one game. That's why I say 7-9. I think we can be a 10-6 team, but I think we lose one game because of either discipline issues or just our back seven, guys.
Well, guess what? They went in double digits, man. I can tell you that right now. We're a double digit win ball club, and like you said, T. Will, that's our identity. We gonna be dirty. We gonna commit some penalties. But, hey, we not soft. And it is going to cost us. But, you know, I think we really got to stay away from the penalties when we're playing those offensive threats like Aaron Rodgers and, you know, like a Drew Brees, somebody that can throw the ball down the field, because you can't be giving those automatic first downs. You know, when you're going up against Christian Ponder, that he's probably not going to score anyway, it doesn't look as bad and it doesn't hurt you. But yeah, I think we're a double-digit win team this year. I really do. I definitely don't think we're going to be under 500. I really don't. But, T, we'll stick with you. And what did you see from the Lions in the first game of the season yesterday?
Well, the first thing I noticed, guys, was Reggie Bush. The way that we used him as a back, as a threat, as a decoy, as a slot. I mean, I put it like this, guys. If we can get a tight end that can just catch the ball and hold on to it, I mean, he doesn't have to be phenomenal or anything. He'd be a possession guy. I mean, we'll be fine, because with Calvin Johnson and the threat of Reggie Bush, it's going to be a lot of one-on-one coverage. Nate Burleson should have a really good season this year. You know, if he can win those one-on-one matchups, guys, he's going to catch a lot of balls for us. You know, if Brandon Pettigrew, if he catches the ball, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. So I like what I've seen, fine. Defensively, I like the way we got at it after it, fine. I know it was Christian Ponder. We forced him into a few mistakes. You know, some balls was batted in the air. We came down with him. You know, so You know, it's going to be different when we see Aaron Rodgers twice or Jay Cutler twice. So I just hope our defense can be bend but don't break and let our offense put on some put up some points. Our offense, we got to finish, man. A lot of those drives we didn't finish, we have to finish and get touchdowns out of them.
Yeah, T, you bring up Christian Potter. I know this is a little bit off subject, but I just got to say this. You know, guys all the time, they say, oh, that guy can't play quarterback in the NFL. This guy can't play. Man, I got an NFL Sunday ticket because I have to see the Lions. So I watch almost every game. And these quarterbacks in the league are just not very good at all. And this guy can't play. This guy's not good. It's like, dude, have you seen some of these quarterbacks? Terrell Pryor's starting now. Like, he's starting. Christian Ponder took these guys to the playoffs last year. He's playing. He's starting. Like, are you serious right now? The Jets situation, they come out with a win. These quarterbacks are funny. And people sit back and say, oh, that guy can't play in the NFL. It's like, dude, how do you know? Look at the guys that are starting this year, opening day. But anyway, C. Rush, let's jump to you real quick. And, you know, what did you see from the Lions yesterday, man?
Offensively, I loved it. I love the way that, you know, even though Calvin only had one catch, he had the targets that he did have were touchdowns that were overturned. One be it a bad call, one he had his foot out of bounds. So I like the way that Stafford is spraying the ball around. And it's funny what a threat at the backfield can do for that. It's funny what somebody who wants to run very north and south can do in Drake Bell. And he's a key. He's going to be a key to this team because with the way that we use Reggie Bush on Sunday, will he play all 16? Maybe. But you know what? It's always good to have a power back who can also catch the football out the backfield who runs hard. He runs hard every time he touches the ball, which I love. The front four, front seven, you know what? I love what I see. Like I said, other than the first run of the game, they put on a show stopping Adrian Peterson. And yeah, you're right. You know, Christian Ponder's that quarterback, you know, but still, it's hard to stop AP even if you got 11 in the box. So I do like what we did there. We made him try to beat us and come back, and we know that he can't do that. So if our offense continues to get up on guys, I'll be fine with our front four and front seven just doing their job. But I like what I seen. The stupid penalties is something I did not like. We had a pick six that was called back. We had a couple holding calls on the possession in the second quarter, like two holding calls in a row. We have to limit that because, you know why? We don't play the Vikings 16 times in a year. We do got to go to Chicago. We do got to go to Green Bay. So we got to make sure that, for one, we win in division, and we got to make sure we win the right way. So if we can try to just somehow cut out on these penalties, I know that they are who they are, but we got to have self-control as well. I mean, we're a grown man, so just a little bit more self-control.
Now, you guys have coached football and are still coaching football. I don't know the terminology like you guys do, but I just want to tell you the Fon Wilson playoff formula, in my opinion. If you can stop the run, if you're balanced on offense, and your QB can move the ball by throwing it down the field, that's my formula. So T. Will, I'll go to you. Obviously, your answer is no because you said the Lions are going to go 7-9. But so you don't see this team being a playoff team?
Oh, I could have sworn I said 9-7.
Oh, you said 9. Oh, I'm sorry,
guys. No. Yes, I think we can win 10 games, but I think we'll lose one due to our discipline, lack thereof discipline, so and due to a tough schedule. So I think we'll go 9-7. Those are my two reasons for going 9-7. Yes, I do think we'll be. Yes, I think we'll be a playoff team. Sorry.
Oh, you think 9 would be good? Oh, okay. So C. Rush, yep. So do you think we're a playoff team, C. Rush?
I think that 9-7 is not good enough this year, you know, and the reason I think 9-7 is because I think we can win 11 games, honestly, but we're going to do something real stupid against certain teams that's going to cost us. It's going to be a costly game. Like, we want to hit Jay Cook, we want to hit Aaron Rodgers late, and we'll be up or something like that. So I that's why I think 9-7, and the NFC is way too good. I think there's going to be two teams out the West, two teams from the South, and it's got to be one team from the East, one team from the Central. So, you know, I just think that until they figure out how to discipline himself, we'll be 9-7, and we'll be right on the cusp of the playoffs, but we'll be looking back like, man, this is one game.
Yeah, see, I think 10 minimum, we're probably going to win 11. Like, that's just what I think. But, T, Will, let me ask you this. You're a head football coach. So what you think about my formula? Because that's just always been my formula as a football fan. What you think about that formula?
Well, that goes back to something that I've always said, me, you, and C. Rush has, and that's common sense, man. It's a common sense formula, and I like it. I mean, it works. I'll put it like that. It works fine. It really does. So, I mean, I'm with it. I agree with your formula.
Yeah. And that's why I got to be honest, and we're going to move on here, but that's why, like, I like the Houston Texans is because they go with that formula. So maybe that's why I really like them. But anyway, we're not going to go do a freestyle today because we got started kind of late here. But we still want to give a shout out to the Chris L. Davis. They always sponsor our freestyle round. We're not doing today, but shout out to the agency. And,
yes, sir.
Yeah, we just want to leave it at that. And we really do appreciate you guys and all your help. And but let's move on here, T. Will. Let's start with you on this one. And we're going to talk about. Oh, hold on, guys. My apologies. I forgot to play. Sorry about that, guys.
It's my jam.
Yeah, I know. My apologies there. But T. Will, let's talk about this game. I mean, like I said on the show, T. And last year, T, I saw Notre Dame. They had an SEC defense. They had a quarterback that was mobile and that can beat you in the air. They scared me. I'm just being honest. I saw them week one against Temple. They didn't scare me. I was really confident with that game all the way up to Devin Gardner, you know, threw the ball in the air and they got a touchdown. And I was nervous there. But all through the game, T, I was just so confident. So talk about what you saw in that game, please.
Well, from the beginning kickoff on to the end, you know, I never felt that Notre Dame was going to win. I just never felt that they were supposed to win or that they were going to win. You know, even at the end, when Devin threw that knucklehead pass in the end zone and gave Notre Dame that touchdown and brought them to within one possession, I never quite felt that Notre Dame was going to win the game, though. It was fine offensively. I'm telling you right now. It's going to be tough to stop Michigan because we have weapons. We have weapons on the outside at receiver, at the tight end spot with Devin Funches, the big physical offensive line, the running game, and the craftiness of Devin Gardner. The defense, I'm telling you guys, there's not going to be many teams that put up many points against this defense. And we just have the total team. We just have the total team, guys, and I really don't want to sound like this is the best team in the world, but when you look at the necessities that you need to win conference championships and to be very competitive, we have those, man, and it kind of excites me. So not one time during that game, Fon, did I ever feel that Notre Dame had a chance to win it. I felt like it was Michigan's from start to finish, even though at the end it kind of got close. But realistically, I've never felt threatened by Notre Dame.
Yeah, T. Now I want to say this because everything you just said, I agree with you on Michigan. I agree with you 100%. But T, when your team is an elite team, and to start the year, T, this is the only concern that I always have, T, when you really support a team like this at the elite level, is that we don't have an opportunity to judge them on the road. And their first road game, we could be like, oh my goodness, here we go. They never stepped on the road. That's my only concern with this team, T. But I agree with you. I think our defense is going to bail us out. So I'm really not that upset. But before I crown a team, T, and I really do believe this, that you have to see them play on the road first.
No, you definitely have to. And when I think about being on the road, I think Devin made his first start at quarterback last year on the road against Minnesota. Now, no, Minnesota isn't one of the top teams in the Big Ten, but on the road, being in another environment, making that first start, man, he had a heck of a game. you know, and he also went on the road in the Big Ten and continued to play well. Fine, since Devin Gardner has been a starting quarterback at Michigan, the 29 times they've been in the red zone, they've scored 25 touchdowns, okay? 25 touchdowns. So, I mean, on the road, at home, they're getting it done. You know, just to have a high percentage of scoring in the red zone, fine, it's good. I'm talking about combination of touchdowns and field goals.
Right.
But when you've been in the red zone 29 times and you score touchdowns 25 of the times, you're going to win a lot of ball games.
Yeah, because, see, don't get me wrong. Like I said, man, I agree with you, man. But I mean, you just, you know, you look at the schedule and you just got to be honest. You say, hey, we beat Central. You know, we beat Notre Dame. We know who we are from Saturday. We just got to pray nobody gets hurt and we stay healthy, because we're not going to learn anything more about Michigan. We're not going to learn anything. We're going to beat the mess out of Akron and we're going to move on. So I don't think we can learn anything more until we do step on the road, in my opinion. But see, Rush, I want to jump to you now. What did you see in that Michigan Notre Dame game?
What I seen was, I don't want to throw this word around too often, but I seen an offense who could become elite. You know, first quarter, I was watching it just to see what was going on. It came out pro, then they went a little option read. You know, first quarter, Devin gave it up every time, every time, every time. In the second quarter, Devin started pulling it, looking at that end, and taking off. That adds an element to this offense, because you know what? If he runs, he's not, even though he's a pass first quarterback, he can take off. He can hit the edge and take off. And Notre Dame found out the hard way. They were selling out so much on the run. Devin had wide open lanes to run. And when he had to pass, because he wants to pass first, he was putting the ball there on the money. Now, this is a Notre Dame line who, in my opinion, they kind of willed them to the national championship game. You know, the big boy up front, I can't remember what his name is, but the biggest guy on the field. That defensive front actually kind of had their way with Michigan's front line in a sense, until we started going misdirection and started doing whatever we wanted to. That is a good defensive front, you know. So we won't see a defensive front like that till we see that team from Ohio later. So I like what I've seen from that. Brian Kelly, he's going to find a way to score. Brian Kelly is an offensive mind. He's going to find a way to score no matter who's at quarterback. It doesn't matter. He could have my nephew out there at quarterback, and he's two. So it really doesn't matter. So, but only a matter of time till talent prevails. And we have the talent in that back end now. That's one thing we didn't have. Counters being back, that's huge. He tore his knee up against Alabama last year, but came out the other day. Had an interception, broke up a couple passes, was all over the field. I believe he had two interceptions, or was the cause of two. But you know what? I think we have the team that we all envisioned. I learned a lot about this team because they grew up. You know, I never felt that Notre Dame was a threat in this game, even though their offense and defensive line kind of had their way in a sense. But when Michigan had to get a stop, they got one. And that's the one thing I'm pulling from this game, is that we are not the average Big Ten team, because the Big Ten does not look good in any game I've seen, but we look very good.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I think Gardner's the best quarterback in the Big Ten, and that's not biased. And I've really felt that it was going to be like that this year. That guy Miller in Ohio, I mean, he had an opportunity last year to play. And Gardner didn't, so obviously he was going to come in. But I knew, I'm telling you right now, I knew Gardner would be special. When I saw him in the state finals, I knew when he got an opportunity that he could be special. I knew he could. I'm not surprised. So I want to ask you this. Do you think he's a top five quarterback in the country, C. Rush?
Let me break it down. Top five. I got to go with Teddy Bridgewater, you know, great quarterback. I got to go with Johnny Football. No particular order. I'm just listing quarterbacks who I appreciate. I'm gonna go Aaron Murray up there. I'm gonna go Devin and that one kid from Ohio. So he is a top five quarterback in the United States of America.
See, I want to throw this to T. Will, because I think Taj Boyd is way better than Miller. And I know I don't like Ohio. I don't. So it might seem like I'm coming, but I think Taj Boyd is way better than him. But T. Will, you the quarterback whisperer. Who you got in your top five, man?
Well, if Devin is if you're asking if Devin is in the top five quarterbacks in the country, that number is the answer is absolutely yes. You have to go Teddy Bridgewater. You have to go Devin Gardner. You have to go Taj Boyd. I forgot the young man's name, but it's a quarterback at Utah State. Look out for this kid, man. This kid is phenomenal. He's a young man, and I think he's a sophomore or junior. This kid is phenomenal. He's putting up major numbers at Utah State. I mean, I would have to put him in my top five in the country. There's a lot of really good quarterbacks out here, guys. But yes, I had to put him in my top five. That guy in Ohio, he's up there, but, LaFon said, I think he's a little overrated.
Yes.
People give him a little bit more credit than he really does deserve.
Yes.
Now, I'm not taking anything from him. The young man is talented. And he does have a pretty good skill set. Okay. But there are a few quarterbacks in the country that are better than him. And I think we'll see it too when he comes out in the draft or whatever year he comes out. I don't think he'll be the first quarterback taken.
No one is going to sit here and tell me that Braxton Miller would have done what Taj Boyd did to the Bulldog defense. Nobody is going to convince me of that. Taj Boyd showed me a lot week one. Georgia defense, and T-Will, like you said this, their defense is great every year. Like, we might not know how the offense is going to be inconsistent or what it's going to do, but you know that Bulldog defense is going to be great. But, see, Rush, I always like to be fair. I'll let you back in get the last word on this one.
You know what? I am biased to the 5'11 quarterback, I guess. Taj Boyd is him and Aaron Murray. I want to come out and say that. I couldn't think of his name at the time. I thought about the Georgia Clemson game, but Taj Boyd is up there. So if I want to replace Aaron Murray with him, if we're talking about college only, I say Taj Boyd. But that guy in Ohio, he scares me in this offense. As a Michigan fan, he scares me in this offense playing us. He really does.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, me and T. Will, let me speak for myself. I'm not saying he's a bum. That's not what I'm saying. But I just think they go 12-0. They had a great defense last year. Yes, they got a great scheme. But I just, like I said, if we're going player for player, it's a lot of guys that I would definitely take over him. I mean, Kenny Guyton came in and looked like Joe Montana. The system is very good. Like, we can't knock that. And Braxton Miller is good as well. But, hey, like I said, man, I mean, it's a couple guys that I definitely would take over him. And I still can't believe how Taj Boyd did the Bulldog defense. I still cannot believe that, to be 100% honest. But let's get into our last one of the day before we get to our pick'em, guys. And, here we go. This is what we all been waiting for. Bama, Texas A&M. See, Rush, we'll start with you. You know, what we gonna see in this one, man?
Bama's been saying, you know, it's just another game. They pissed. Nick Saban does not like to lose. Like I said, a guy with an ego, a guy with pride, a guy with rings, he does not want to lose this game. Even the quarterback, he does not want to lose this game. Him and Johnny Football were at the Manning Academy together, and during SEC pressers, he said, hey, I ain't got nothing to do with that guy. You know, so this is becoming a pseudo rivalry game because Alabama, that's their only imperfection on their loss record last year. So you know what? It's going to be a physical game. It's going to be tough within the trenches for Texas A&M. What they got to hope for is they can hit the edges and get the speed around the edges. You know, that's going to have to be their game. Anything running inside, they won't be able to do. They won't be able to sneak up on them. On Alabama, you know, with Kevin Sumlin, he's a good offensive guy, but you know what? This is not going to be the same Alabama team, not the same Alabama schemes that you've seen last year. Now, Texas A&M, they come on a strike early, they could turn this into a shootout, but I just really believe that Alabama is going to dominate this game in ways that we've never seen before. You know, I believe they're going to put pressure on Johnny Football. It's going to be a spy there. He won't have those running lanes. Alabama's going to be crisp with their tackles this time. They won't let him hit the edge. They're going to make it hard. They're going to make it hard for him. They're going to make his life hell on Saturday. I really believe that. And I really believe that Alabama's going to come out with something to prove, something to play for this game.
Yeah, Nick,
it's the first SEC game.
Nick Saban is the king of the rematch. We all know this. Now, 2 years ago, LSU beat Alabama during the year, and Alabama couldn't go to the SEC title game, but they ended up going to the national title game to play LSU again, and LSU couldn't cross the 50-yard line. So, T. Will, I want to throw this one to you. What do you expect to see in this rematch, T. Will?
First off, you don't really want to beat Nick Saban, because it's kind of like that guy in the backyard when you hooping, you made a mistake and beat one of your older friends or your older brother or something, and it's kind of like, I ain't never playing you again. That's it. I beat you one time. That's it. We're done. You know, it's kind of like that, because when you play him again, it's going to get ugly, and that's what I expect to see, Fon. I've watched every play on Coach's film of that Alabama-Texas A&M game last year. Alabama has so many missed tackles, so many blown coverages. They played a terrible football game, and that game was close. Well, what I can tell you this year, I can darn near guarantee there won't be missed tackles. There won't be blown coverages. Everybody will be where they're supposed to be. Guys, I'm going to be honest. I don't expect this game to be close at the end. I mean, I just don't. I expect Alabama to exploit Johnny Manziel's weaknesses. You know, I expect him to put him under a lot of pressure, see what his decision-making is going to be like. And realistically, I expect him to put a lot of pressure on that defense. You know, that defense, that Texas A&M defense is solid, but at the same time, are they able to withhold the Alabama's offense? You know, Alabama leaning on them, you know, running that power, you know, things like that. So I don't think so. And at the end of the day, I just don't expect this to be a close game. I expect Alabama to win by a few touchdowns.
Wow, guys. So C-Rush, C-Rush, you got Alabama winning this game?
Yes, but I don't I think it'll be closer than what the experts think. I think it'll be a tough game. I think Alabama's going to show their dominance, but I think it'll be closer.
I got to be honest with you guys, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I've been looking at some things. I looked at the Alabama-Virginia Tech game, and I know Texas A&M didn't really play too good of a teams, but I'm saying it right here, man. Johnny Football going to beat Alabama again. And I'm saying that right now. So, man, I'm just going to be honest. I wouldn't bet on it. I definitely wouldn't. And I know I'm going against the king of the grudge match himself that did not allow LSU to cross the 50 because he was held out of the SEC championship game. So he made them pay for that. And he made them say, hey, we're the best team in SEC, even though you got your little SEC trophy. But I got to be honest, guys. I'm going with Johnny Football, man. And I am. I just am. But T. Will, so let's go to you and let's start our pick 'em. So since we're talking about Bama A&M, let's just start with them, T. Will. And, you know, we got Bama on the road, you know, -7.5. So do we just automatically take it that you're picking Alabama because you said this thing's not going to be close?
Absolutely. And give me Bama -7.5. I think they win by, bare minimum 2 touchdowns.
Okay, so let's go. We got T going with T's going to go with Bama and he, you know, everybody's looking at the game. T said, "Hey, everybody's going to have their little popcorn and their pop sitting in front of the TV, and the game's not even going to be good. You're going to be watching something else." But see, Rush, we'll go to you. Who do you have in this one?
Alabama 45, Texas A&M 31. I believe it's going to be Alabama's going to come out and show their dominance. Texas A&M. We'll keep it close, but at the same time, Nick Saban does not like to lose at all. he hates that. It pisses him off for some reason, losing, and then playing him again. I wouldn't want to be Kevin Sumlin right now or Johnny Football. 45-31.
Yeah, as you guys, so obviously C-Rush is going with Alabama. They're -7.5. I'm going with Texas A&M. And obviously, give me the points. I want my points. I want to make this clear. But I think Texas A&M going to win the game. But I want my 7.5.
I'm sure you do.
you need it.
So I just want to say that. Okay, now we picked two more just real good ones here. I think these next two games are just so really juicy. T. Will, we'll go back to you. We got Tennessee 2-0 going to visit Oregon, and man, they look good. It looked like Chip Kelly twin is on the side. Looked like he coaching both teams. That's what it looked like to me. But Oregon is -26.5. T. Will, who you got?
Oregon -26.5. That's who I have. Chip Kelly made me believe last night when I seen the Eagles on Monday Night Football. I'm telling you guys right now, I know Tennessee's a SEC team, but my goodness, this offense is proven, and this time of year, this offense flourishes. You know, these guys can put up so many yards, so many points, and not just put them up, guys, but put them up fast. You know, put them up fast, and I really do think that even if Tennessee does respond with two or three touchdowns, maybe a field goal, something like that, I just see Oregon scoring in the 50s and 60s, and yeah, I just see them scoring in the 50s and 60s and covering that spread. Give me Oregon, and you guys can have the 26.5 points.
See, now here's the thing. See, and I know we're getting off subject a little bit here. When you say Chip Kelly and his system, this is what I don't understand. Now, I'm not a football coach, but you better believe this. If I was a football coach, I would be running that system. And the reason why is because everybody like it. Every player wants to play in it. And it just looks cool. Everybody wants to be a part of this thing. And then everybody wants you to be their coach. Even if they go and have a disappointing year this year, T. Even if they go, the Eagles have a disappointing year. He would be at Texas or at USC next year. So, but anyway, that's a little off topic there. But, man, I mean, his system is beautiful. Like, I love to watch that play, watch the Oregon Eagles play, like I like to call them. But I got to be honest with you guys. I'm going to take the points again. I mean, call me a sucker today, but I want the 26.5 because I'm going to tell you this. I think Butch is a good coach. I think he's a good coach. Now, I'm not saying they're going to win this game. Don't get that twisted. But I think he's going to slow this thing up a little bit. I think he's gonna hit Oregon in their weakness, and that's between the tackles. And that's what I think he's gonna do. I think he's gonna run that play clock all the way down, try to pick up 5 or 6 a pop. And I think he's studying that Stanford game last year. Hit him right between them gaps. And that's what I think you have to do against Oregon. And you know, Virginia this past weekend, they trying to throw the screens, they trying to beat Oregon on the outside where they got all them fast guys. No, run that thing up the gut. And that's what I think Tennessee will do with Neal. I really do believe that. So I'm going to be a sucker and take the points on this one. See, Rush, who are you liking this?
I'm going to take Tennessee, and here's why. I'm not taking them to win it, of course, but give me the points. You got you had Dooley with the same SEC talent that went there, and now you got a guy who actually has won a national championship in Miami, had NFL talent in Cleveland and in North Carolina. Now you got a guy who has won something. So you know what? He's going to find a way to not, I mean, 26 points is 21 keeping it close? No. But I think it'll be more competitive than people think. You know, SEC, they have a pride factor about them. You know, when they went down to Knoxville a couple years ago and ran the score up, Dooley was sitting there with his shirt and tie, like, whew, wasn't expecting that speed, but you know what? Butch Davis is. So I think it's going to be a competitive game for the first half, and then Oregon's going to flex their muscle, but I still think that Tennessee will cover this 26 points.
Yeah, see, Rush, I think so too. I just really do think you got to try to play clock down. You got to run that thing up the gut, because to me, that's the only Oregon weakness on the team, in my opinion. They got great DBs. But if you run that thing, they're not that good in the middle. I just don't think so. But we'll see. We'll revisit this. We'll have a look at it. Got another tough one, T. Will, and we'll go back to you. Wisconsin, they played Our Lady of the Arts 2 weeks in a row. It's like they just played the same team. They didn't score both weeks in a row. So, they just beat up on the same team, it looked like, in my opinion. But they're going to visit Arizona State. And, ASU, it's -5.5. T. Will, I know this is a tough one because we don't even have a clue how good Wisconsin is. What you think about this one?
It is a tough one. And then, like you said, you play Our Lady of the Arts twice. And I have to think about it from a coaching standpoint. What's the philosophy behind it? Why do we play the arts twice? confidence. We got to get – we're trying to get these boys confident. So we give them confidence, and now we go play Arizona State. Hey, you know what? I'm taking Wisconsin plus 5.5, man. I have to take Wisconsin plus 5.5. I mean, they're feeling good right now. They're really confident. And they're off – not just feeling confident, fine, but their offense is rolling. Their defense is coming off 2 shutouts. I mean – I mean, you tell me what's better right now. You know what I'm saying? So hey, give me Wisconsin plus 5.5.
See, and it's funny because, see, I'm taking Arizona State because of the opposite of what you said. They played Our Lady of the Arts. They're not even used to anybody fighting back. They're just used to throwing blows and them just crawling up in the corner. Arizona State is going to fight these guys, and I don't think they're going to be ready for it. I just don't. I don't think, and me and you talk about this all the time, T. If you want a tune-up game, beautiful. T, you don't need 2 tune-up games. You don't need them. And I know you already know that, so I'm preaching to the choir, but you don't need 2 tune-up games. 1, okay, beautiful. Second week, let's play somebody a little bit better, you know, where somebody going to score a touchdown. Your defense not that good. So that's why I'm taking Arizona State. I don't think Wisconsin is ready for the road, and then they're ready to play some very good Division I players. I've just got to be honest. I don't think they're ready for it. C. Rush, who you got?
Give me Wisconsin. I don't know too much about Arizona State. I know Wisconsin has shut 2 teams out 2 weeks in a row, whether it be the Arts or whoever. But, you know, you still got to shut them out. Hey, Michigan State couldn't. So, you know, I got to I got to go with the Badgers on this one. And you know what? He's taking something when your predecessor leaves, your mentor leaves, he's doing the same thing. That Wisconsin roster wasn't left in shambles, as well as that Oregon roster wasn't left in shambles. So you know what? He still has talent, and he's not a fool, and he's going to use that talent. And we know that talent from Wisconsin is very good. The way they flex their muscle in front of Nebraska last year, in front of the Bible College this year. So you know, I really believe they're going to cover this 5.5 spread. And this game won't be close.
Wow. I'm telling you, man, they don't know what Coach Graham over there doing in Arizona State. But no, we just want to review here. This is with point spreads adding. I don't want anybody to think that anybody's picking Tennessee to win this game. So we just want to review. T. Will, Bama, Oregon, Wisconsin. C. Rush, Bama, Tennessee, Wisconsin. And Fon, A&M, Tennessee, and Arizona State. So this should be, this next show, somebody going to be able to really brag here, fellas.
I mean, I'm 3-0 already, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you for bringing that up, C-Rush. So, you know, last week, C-Rush decided to join me in the winning circle. We both went 3-0, and T-Will, he went with Coach Munchap, and they couldn't get it done in Miami, and so he's 2-1 to start things off. But
Above 500.
Still second place.
Well, I made my picks first, so you in second place. I made them first. Oh. But Well, all right. Hey, see Rush, man. You have a good show, man.
To that last point, I did. Yeah, I did.
See, Will, you good, man?
Man, I'm smooth over here, man. I'm good. I'm good, man. And I enjoyed myself today fine, but I tell you like this, man. Ain't nothing like bringing a show, man, from the Lazy Boy Cheer, man, to the internet, man.
Yes, sir. That's what it's about. That's what we do here at the Wilson Rush Podcast. And, we actually did get some at, we actually got a topic and somebody wanted us to address the fight, but we only were able to do one show last week, so we had to hit football hard. So if we do get a show in before Saturday, we will address Mayweather's fight on Saturday. We will. But, please keep them coming. Send some emails, send some questions, and, WilsonRushPodcast@gmail.com, Wilson Rush on iTunes, and Wilson Rush on Twitter. And as always, representing 7 Mile, and y'all have a blessed week, man. DJ Clips, Rev City, let's go. The Wilson Rush Podcast. With your host, Wilson Rush. Also with T. Will, Fon Wilson. Detroit, 7 Mile, Rev City, your world, DJ Clips.
We the best, the chemist music group.
They think I'm ballin' like I'm